Right at it. Right at it!
Home!
He's done it again! Just as he did at the John Deere for his first win.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 118 of the Go Get That podcast. We're joined again by Elise as we're getting some very positive feedback with her presence. So why not? Any time that she can come on, we're happy to have her. So thank you, Elise. Hopefully, Elise has been making more positive appearances recently than Mr. Speed. So we need some good mojo. And this week was not that. I mean, if you're thinking about it from a big overlooking standpoint, this is pretty darn close to Wingfoot, I believe, in terms of rock bottom. Now I feel like it's for two different reasons. I don't think his golf swing is in as bad of a spot as it was at Wingfoot. But, you know, we're starting to look at other things now besides just the golf swing, right? Like, you're looking at a man who physically can't win because of a certain reason every week. Sometimes it's different, sometimes it's not. And we're looking at a man who we don't really know what's going to happen in the future.
A feeble man.
There's a lot of questions that I know all of us would like answers to, and of course all of you guys would as well. But this is, of course, it's been a somber few days. I mean, we've watched literally the new Jordan Spieth come up and win the Masters for the second time in 3 years. Just an incredible win, by the way. I want to put that out there. I mean, Scottie Scheffler is one of a kind right now, as he is now the second best peak, according to Data Golf, besides Tiger, which Jordan shared with me this morning. And Jordan Spieth did the exact opposite. He finished +9 on the week and missed the cut by 3. I'd be pretty confident that even last year, if you had told Jordan, Dan, or I that he would ever miss a +6 cut at Augusta, we would be so against that take. It's crazy to me, right? Because you look at, of course, played hard, but like, you can't just look at the 15th hole as the hole to blame, right? Like, that was pretty embarrassing, but that wasn't necessarily the story of the week by any means. I mean, he had a lot. I mean, Scottie Scheffler makes 9 on that hole and still wins the golf tournament. So, like, you can't look at one hole as what did him in this week. He played a poor 36 holes of golf, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you don't have to look at 15. You can look at number 1 on Thursday. he hit the fairway, did he not? He hit the fairway. What a good tee shot.
I believe he hit the fairway on 15 as well.
Yeah, he hit some fairways. So he hit the fairway 1, pulled it left, chipped it, ran, came back down to his feet, and he made a 6 to start the week. And he does not John Rahm. He didn't make a double to start the week and go on to win. He did the exact opposite. That hole kind of, you know, encapsulated a lot of the issues that we had, you know, coming in. It wasn't a good iron shot at all, pulling it left to a back left flag when you can just hit it to the middle of the green. And then obviously he had the chipping woes coming in, which continued there. Should have been making bogey at worst, turned into a double, and it just, I mean, it really set the tone for the week. First hole is always tough, but making a double the way he made it after you hit the dang fairway is just really encapsulated Spieth 2024 so far.
Yeah, I was going to say there's no no pictures on the scorecard, right? But I think it's
thank
pretty
God.
Clear. Yeah, thank God. But there's plenty of pictures in the Masters app if you still got it downloaded. And it will show you that the short game was atrocious.
Atrocious does not even begin to.
Right. There's a long list of words you could use that are synonymous with atrocious to fit the bill of how bad the short game was. You think about number 1, as you mentioned on Thursday, the old double chip, and then the second chip was only to about 12 feet. 15. I mean, let's go there. Wedge over the green, wedge back over the green into the water, wedge from the other side, back over the green, putt left 35 feet short, next putt left 4 feet short. So in that instance right there, in a round that was a 79, he probably gave away 4 shots around the greens. And you think about how, obviously, that morning was playing extremely hard, but the inability to hit a chip shot that is remotely close to average PGA Tour level, let alone average Jordan Spieth level, is terribly concerning. And I'm not sure what to say, but it's now four events in a row that he's lost strokes gained around the greens. And I'm going to have to do some digging because I'm not sure that's ever happened before. He lost three last summer when the wrist first popped up, and it had been 13 out of 14 that he had gained since. And now it's four in a row. And if the wrist isn't as big of a problem as he says it is, then that should not be happening, especially with his caliber. And it sucks because it came right after a week where he drove it really well at Valero. Other than like the one tee ball on 18 on Saturday, he hit some wedge shots to decent proximity, particularly Friday. The iron play looked improved, and you're thinking, oh, well, the putter's been better all year. If he can just chip it to his normal standards, there's a potential for him to be somewhat relevant come this weekend. And instead, the only mention he gets on the weekend is he missed the cut on Saturday. And then when they play the back nine entrance theme on Sunday, it's Spieth leading off with the double, with the triple on 12. And it's like, is this what this guy has become? And frankly, he is. He's a top 20 golfer in the world, hanging on by a thread. It's been 2 years since he won, and I'm not sure where we're going and what's next, but life's great.
Let me touch on the short game real quick, because I've been saying this even more than you guys have in recent weeks. I know you guys, I've been very, very critical on the short game. This week, I think we're all in the same boat, right? Like, it was pretty obvious.
It's horrible.
Like you can look at it two ways, right? Let's say one, the wrist is really big enough of an issue to hinder his short game. I mean, you simply cannot win with half of the poor short game shots he hit this week. So at that point, it needs to be,
especially at Augusta,
taking time off. Yeah. It has to be taking time off. If the wrist is hindering him that much, which I'll get into this in a second, I do believe it is, actually. Like, you have to take time off. Like, there's no excuse to go in there and play for T20s. Like what are we doing? But let's say it's not. Like, I mean, you look at Spieth's first two rounds. I don't believe it's crazy to say that with even his with a good Jordan Spieth short game, I don't think it's crazy to say he could have been around even par for the first 2 days with the way he hit the ball. I mean, you look at four, possibly five. I wouldn't say five. So four shots on 15. You look at a simple up and down on one. That's six shots right there that Jordan Spieth routinely gets up and down at most points in his career, 9 times out of 10. And then you look at just other like chips on 11 that were just 15, 16 feet short that are usually 6, 7, 8 feet, even though they're hard shots. Like just like 14 and 17, I remember being huge problems. Like he'd miss the greens on 14 and 17 all week and then would just not give himself a good look for par. Like these are times when he should be getting these tidy, right? Like that's where Jordan Spieth has always had the advantage. Jordan Spieth never hit the ball like Scottie Scheffler does right now. Like Jordan Spieth, and I'm not saying Scottie's squirt game isn't unbelievable, but it's definitely not as creative, I don't think, as Jordan's was. And then Scott hits the required shots almost every time. Jordan has been known to go that extra length to force a shot and pull it off, right? Like, it was inexcusable. Like I never thought I'd see the day that he would chip like he did this week. It was unbelievably bad. people talk about the Oberg shot that he put in the water on 15 scaring Spieth. Like, what? Like, it's Berg's second time playing that hole in tournament. First time playing that hole in tournament play. And what he's doing is affecting you, a champion here. That's a horrid take. Like, a Berg shot should never be affecting anything Spieth's choosing to do from 20 yards difference. He's 20 yards closer. He's got nothing like the same shot. It was just a poor golf shot. It was a horrifically played hole that, besides the fact that it's Augusta and I might six putt, I could have easily scored better from that position. It's just inexcusable. It can happen. And listen, I've been saying this. I do think the wrist is an issue. I don't know whether it's actually physical or whether it's mental, but every shot he's hitting the same. Like, every shot is back of the stance, hit down on it, take a divot, which he's always done. He's always taking divots around the greens. But like, it's always been a chopping motion that, like, they're like, we're Augusta requires so much creativity that we just didn't see out of him this week. So I think there's got to be something there. But that's not an excuse. Like,
I mean, do we want to talk about Kevin Van Valkenburgh's article on Spieth?
I did not read the full thing. I like couldn't get through it. But
it was pretty sad.
I mean, yeah. But he suggested the wrist was an issue.
Yeah,
he was like wincing over shots that you don't necessarily see on TV.
No, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So at that point, it's like, well, if the wrist is that much of an issue, and everything I've read, because I'm a sick person, like, I literally Googled everything you could about like ulnar nerve damage, and like it could actually lead to permanent hand weakness. And he already has like a weak, he already like had a weak grip. And he, like, remember in 2018 how you described like his hand just like got like weaker and like weaker in terms of in his grip, and that was like affecting his swing. So I think like some of these things are all potentially like related as part of his fall off. We don't ever know that for sure, but I mean, just look at his hands. They're not normal hands. I'm sorry. They've been like disgusting cysts since at least 2019 when he won the Dan Patrick show and showed Dan Patrick his hands. So it's, and also guess what? Ganglion cysts are one of the like number one causes of ulnar nerve damage.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. And in fact, like, I didn't know all of that. It's some good insight. Like,
Dr. Elise is just diagnosing Spieth with.
I diagnosed myself that I have a problem. Like,
yeah,
when he had C. diff, I looked it up as well. And like, I was like, oh my God, he should not have been playing. Like, ugh. That's like a horrible.
I mean, I'm personally infection. Of the opinion, and I hate to say that he doesn't have a chance. Like, unless like the wrist fully isn't an issue, and he reworks his golf swing, he has no chance to win the PGA or the U.S. Open. He has 2 months.
You could have said that coming into the year, probably.
Probably, but you know, I hate to say he has zero chance because like he has Jordan Spieth, he has an enormous amount of talent. Like,
he also gave us false hope at the Century and Waste Management Phoenix Open.
I mean, I truly believe if he had hit the ball like Scott did this week, I truly believe he would have still finished bottom of the barrel. He would have made the cut and just finished bottom of the barrel. Like he doesn't hit the required shots, sure. But like, that's not where he's losing the shots that are costing him golf tournaments. Like, it's around the greens right now that is absolutely killing him.
He's losing shots everywhere.
I agree. Everything's a problem. Bob. I still believe it's a T45 finish with Scott's iron play this week. Like, he can't get up and down from anywhere right now.
Yeah, I don't know how it was in the second round. I have to look again, but.
It was slightly positive. He actually gained a little over a shot on approach in the second round.
Trending.
Mind you. So trending. Good news. Anyway.
Trending.
The wrist stuff sucks because I think, look, we don't want to give it credit for, we don't know anything, right? We're just, as Elise put it, we're pretty sick individuals and we try to figure this stuff out. It makes a lot of sense. It's a very valid equation that we are coming up with here. And it sucks to think that somebody as stubborn as he is likely will not get this fixed until after the Open, at least after the President's Cup. But we'll see. Anyway, I wanted to follow up on the short game. First time in his career he's ever lost in four straight. In his career. And that includes like all the way back in 2010 when Data Golf has a few things in there. Like this is
that good, Dan?
Is it good?
Yeah, is that good?
I don't even know what it is, man. It's sad, is what it is. And it's just like, as soon as, I mean, not that the swing and the ball striking has been fantastic, but it's like, we can't go a darn season where everything is somewhat stable. The putter comes back, the short game goes away. The driver starts to hit some bombs with the occasional snap hook, but whatever. And the short game is gone. The iron play is gone. The wedges are gone. It's like this constant game of whack-a-mole that I think was mentioned in, there were a lot of sad articles about Mr. Spieth this week. And
he was sad.
This constant, yeah, he was, and he cares. But this constant, like, fix this, don't, you know, lose this other thing is just so disheartening. For a guy who, frankly, I know he's still a top, you know, 20 player in the OWGR and will be relevant because of his name.
He's 25th but, in the Data Golf, if I may add. So he's not quite top 20.
Yeah, top 25. Fair enough.
Sorry.
So he's overrated is what you're saying.
A little bit.
And the truth is, like, yeah, he's really, I don't want to say he's, it's just a continuous reminder that he's gone from what he used to be. And there's, like, every time you want to sprinkle a little bit into the hope bucket of not even 15, winning five times in a season coming back, but winning once a season and then getting greedy and saying, oh, let's win a major like I did after the century. It's still my pinned tweet on Twitter is that Jordan Spieth will win a major this season.
Taking it back.
He just continues to dash those hopes and dreams. And people started calling, I mean, we should get into this at some point. McCormick. Let your takes be heard. I've given my takes on, we had a spaces, after the 79 concluded where I shared my thoughts on McCormick, but let's get into it because we need to. Mr. Bob, your hand is up.
Yeah, this is my strongest take. Thank you, Capitals, for that second goal. Thank you, Jordan.
Hashtag all caps,
10 seconds
baby.
Left. Yes, 10 seconds
my
left.
My Capitals as well.
Yes, I forgot about that. Yes,
my Caps as well.
Even though I hate them all the time.
They're playing the Bruins.
Ah.
A thrust from the Caps tonight. A thrust.
Yes, the Rangers are getting their President's Trophy celebrations possibly ready.
Meaningless trophy.
Yes. As just like the
Caps have taken that one.
Aon risk reward winner, Matthew Wolf, multiple time champion, never forgets. Regardless, this is a take that I believe is two parted that I don't think many people are going to agree with. And I'll start off by saying this. If Greller goes tomorrow, I'm fine with that. Greller is by no means the problem. I just need a sign of life from Mr. Spieth that he's willing to make a change. And I don't think McCormick is in the realm of possibility at all.
He's at off limits.
I think Mr. Spieth has and my second part is I don't think it's McCormick's fault.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be honest, like McCormick is a world class swing coach.
Whoa, now,
he is a great swing coach.
Is he?
Who has? Yes, yes.
Is he?
Look at what he did for Jordan Spieth.
Who else has he done?
He knows. I guarantee you, he has a way to improve Jordan Spieth's golf swing as it is right now. Guarantee. I talked to Dan about this. I don't think Spieth is very coachable at all. Now, if he gets rid of McCormick tomorrow, the champagne is certainly out, but not because it's Cam McCormick. I do not think McCormick is to blame for this. Like, you're Jordan Spieth, you're a 3-time major winner. Like, Cam McCormick is not at fault for Spieth's career fall off. I'm sorry, you can't say that he is.
At least
but at some point, like, you need a different,
correct. Voice. Yeah, absolutely. I that's what, like, I just said. Like, I'm fine.
I mean,
where are you going?
It may be that McCormick was a good coach, like, for Spieth to get Spieth to where he was in 2015 to 2017, but he clearly, like, isn't working anymore. And if Spieth isn't coachable, that's really, like, that partly means that the coach is not getting through to Spieth anymore. Yeah, that's yes, it is. That's with any player. No. Like, you have a different coach.
I fully agree with Elise.
In the NFL, you have a different coach in the NFL, and they, like, come in and they bring a different voice.
Come on.
And they turn the team around.
No, I agree with
Elise. I'm sorry. Sometimes you just need that. Hold on, you need, like, a different voice.
Let me rebuttal. I want to add this real quick. If to simplify it, and I was thinking what Elise was saying, I'm not 100% sure that Spieth has confidence in what Cam is telling him to do. That's what I want to add.
Here's let me chime in on this a little bit. I think it's one thing to think that McCormick, that Spieth needs a new voice, and I'm not against that.
I agree. I agree.
But to say that the only reason that people are calling for McCormick is because you can't fire Spieth. You fire McCormick because you can't fire Spieth, because Spieth is the one who ultimately hits the shots. And let me, like, I understand where you guys are coming from, and maybe it is. And look, there's a very reasonable argument that he just needs a new voice, a new something. And McCormick may not be the problem, but he might not be part of the solution, even though he was what created Jordan Spieth essentially in the first place, potentially, right?
I just don't like the creation. You can create Spieth.
He was a swing coach the entire time.
Yeah, but you create him. Spieth had natural talent.
Okay, right. Okay, so you can't say then, though, that it's his fault for the swing disappearing now, because Spieth created his own swing. You can't have it both ways.
You cannot tell me. First of all, I do agree. I think me and Dan are on very similar pages here.
I have another thought, but continue. I forgot.
I need my rebuttal. I'll say this to Elise's point. She has a point with the NFL, but you can't compare individual to team sports. I'm sorry, you can't.
Okay, but okay. How about in running?
Now, hold on.
I will.
I'm going now to another individual sport. Okay, I'm going to tennis. All right, you look at someone like, I'm laughing comparing Spieth to Djokovic, but you look at someone like Djokovic, like, just fired his coach, right? Like, he is not at fault for Djokovic not playing well the last 3 months, but it could still have been necessary to get rid of him. I think that's a similar situation with Spieth. Like, I don't think a new voice does anything but help. But the comments calling for Cam's head, saying that he ruined Jordan Spieth, are absurd.
Ruined is not a fair term to use.
I mean, to say that this career decline is on Cam McCormick is incorrect. It is on Jordan Spieth. I'm sorry. Like that is how it is.
And to
I don't think we're saying that much different things, but I'm just saying that, you know, it's sometimes you just need to have someone different to just get a new swing thought, for instance, or
that's
just
fine.
a new way of looking at something. It's like in running as well. Like sometimes you, like a lot of elite athletes, like elite runners, they switch coaches. Like Grant Fisher, for instance, recently, is they just need like a different voice, or maybe like new people to train with. And that's really what I was saying. Like, and the same thing with the NFL. Like,
and that's fine. That's,
you have
that's
a good team.
Point.
And like, you know, like Mike McCarthy of the Green Bay Packers, like he was a stale voice that the Green Bay Packers like absolutely needed to get rid of. And so, yes, this is mostly on Spieth, because Spieth is either too stubborn or like hasn't recognized that he needs some kind of change. Like every other golfer practically makes changes all the time. Spieth is like the one golfer that almost never makes a change, even to his equipment. Like he is really slow to take up the new clubs. He's really slow to
golf balls.
Like even change like his putter when his putting wasn't like going well. Whereas like, you know, every other
Spieth
golfer is like
boomer.
Switching to mallet and blade.
Yes.
Like every
yes.
week.
Spieth is a boomer.
He's a boomer.
I think we are sort of on similar points,
hold on.
Dan. You can go. And
hold on a second here. So I think there's a slight difference in some of these thoughts on Twitter, Instagram, whatever it might be, and what I'm trying to convey. It's one thing to call for Cam McCormick's head. And that sounds really weird. It's one thing to say Cam McCormick is not doing his job well enough and therefore should be let go. It's another thing to say Spieth needs to make a change and that should start with his coach. And I think there's because of a new voice. Like, I don't think saying Cam McCormick is not doing a good job is fair.
Not at all. I agree with that.
I think saying that Spieth might need a new voice is totally fair.
I'm on the page with that.
Spieth has lost the benefit of the doubt in Cam McCormick not doing a good job, because when this wrist, the first wrist thing came up in 2018, when it like came about, I think he started playing better in 21 and it was like, oh, there's a wrist thing in 2018. And Spieth was saying, I was too stubborn to make a change. Cam was telling me I must strengthen my grip. And I was like, no, I can't. It hurts. But I want to keep playing. I'm not going to fault Spieth for the desire to play golf, but I am going to fault him for not listening to the guy that knows his swing that well and is watching his swing on video all the time and saying, you simply cannot play with a grip that is this weak. And so to me, Spieth maybe he doesn't trust McCormick as well, but that seems like a little bit of a look, whatever's going on. My point is, I think Cam McCormick's a good coach. And I think saying that he's not a good coach is the reason that Spieth is not playing well, I think is not fair. But I think it's fair if you say, look, Spieth needs a new voice and McCormick isn't going to be part of the solution going forward, because they just seem to be kind of stuck at a spot that isn't that progressive.
That's fair.
And that's kind of where I'll lay it out.
That's fair. I don't think we have the whole picture either. I think there's something, thought or something going on that we don't know about, whether it be the risk being worse, whether it be something in Jordan's team that, you know, isn't great. There has to be something going on. The emotion that he showed to Thursday morning in round one was pretty, you know, that was a tough to look at.
Yeah. And it was interesting because it felt like there was a lot of frustration at times kind of leading up. He was always talking about, I'm playing better than I'm scoring. And you see these like angry swings, right? I guess we saw it on Friday too at the Masters, that iron shot on five that comes up like 30 yards short of the flag. And there's that, I think Bobby posted it, it went viral. It was like
phenomenal.
Just ready to take a,
ready to chop wood.
Yeah, ready to chop wood on Augusta National's fifth fairway. But there's like a lot of the photos are like a somberness, like a sadness of like, it almost seems like,
yeah,
I hope it's not doubt, but there seems to be a like,
seems to be doubt in every swing, I think.
I'm just not good at this.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, it makes you, I think then it's easy to draw parallels to his coach also isn't good enough. But I think there's proof that McCormick is a good enough coach. And I think there's proof that Spieth has ignored some of that good coaching in the past to suggest that if he wants to make a change, fine. And I'm not against that.
One thing on McCormick though, Dan, McCormick
is a bit strong.
One thing on McCormick, I don't know which analyst said it, but someone said it during Masters week that if you went to a different coach, that coach could fix him in 10 minutes. I'm not sure who said that, but that was said.
I've definitely heard that before. I mean, not just this week, but Brandon Chamblee has definitely said that before. Like if you went to Butch Harmon, I think this was back like probably during the 2019 days, like he would get fixed in an instant. I don't think it's that simple.
It's
obviously
not that simple, but
yeah,
to make the comp,
this needs to be
the
fixed.
Mental, and also you don't know about the physical. So like
for those, yeah,
like sorry, the physical could also be affecting the swing as well.
Yeah, and to that point of Spieth being fixed in 10 minutes or whatever it might be, I think my point is, or something that I would believe in, is that I think McCormick knows that too. And I think there's a bit of a, potentially, maybe he doesn't, but I think there's a bit of a, and maybe this is a reason to move on, right? Maybe McCormick has the answer, but can't find the way to share that with Spieth in a way that Spieth is going to undertake it and understand it. But I want to give Cam the benefit of the doubt that, yeah, like he knows that it's not good enough. This is that Cam McCormick's career is built on Jordan Spieth.
Yeah.
He knows that, right? And he's not going to not invest in that. To be fair, he does post some interesting Instagram videos. He's a unique.
Follow. Well, you must give him credit. He's a content man.
He loves his good
content.
Wasn't he?
I will say this.
Straight vibing, at one point.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think he still is. I just don't think
during his good run.
I think Berger is still with Atlas.
Yes.
No.
I think so too,
but I don't know. I mean,
we haven't seen Straight Vibing in a minute though. To be fair, granted,
he's
that's injury.
Like one tournament.
He's been hurt. He's played a few this year. They haven't won very well.
Yeah. I miss him a little bit. He's kind of a fun player when he's playing pretty well. Anyway.
Like he had one good tournament, and then he quickly fell off again. Like when he came back, it was like he'd never left, but then that like lasted only for that tournament, basically.
Yeah, I want to say this. A few points. One, I completely disagree with the statement that one other person can fix Jordan Spieth in 10 minutes. Jordan Spieth is not fixable in an hour right now. Like, you must understand that. Like,
I think
half of his battle is still mental. Yeah. Like, no matter how good of a swing he has, his next tournament golf shot will have doubt. Like, that is where we're at. So I disagree. I think over time it could give him more confidence, which is why I don't disagree with saying he needs a new coach. But I think the message is still completely wrong. The message is he needs a new voice. He needs a change. He needs something different. Throughout his career, it's been the same. It's been consistent. He's doing the same thing with the same people and expecting different results. That's not how life works. But the message that Kim McCormick, like, there's just a lot of people who are saying he's ruined Spieth's career. I can't sit here and defend those takes at all. Like, I do believe Cam McCormick is a very good swing coach. I do believe Jordan Spieth needs a new voice in some way, be that caddy, coach, mental psychologist. But both things can be true at the same time. So I think me and I actually think Elise and I are basically on the same page, just said in different ways. I didn't love the comparison to team sports, but it kind of makes sense in this situation. They're so different, but I think in the end, Elise and I and Dan are kind of all saying the same thing. I think Jordan has a little bit more against McCormick than I do, but
not against him. I just, you know, I'm tired of missing the cut at the Masters and not
that's fair. And that's fair.
A lot of speed,
but
obviously.
I do agree with Dan. Like, you look at the way Spieth approaches and like laughing after missing shots. Like, the blame has got to be on Spieth. It cannot be on McCormick. Like, you're missing the cut at the Masters. That is not because of your swing coach. I'm sorry. Like, getting a new swing coach could help, but the blame cannot first go to McCormick. It has got to go to Spieth.
And all of this is being said while in 1 week we'll be celebrating our second RBC title.
Stop. Let's start with making a cut. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, Valero.
2 weeks ago. Congrats to Jason.
He was also, to be fair, he's also +4 through 15 in that event and needed an
miracle ace.
And then a birdie up and down from 72 yards in the bunker or something to kickstart his
charge.
But, and yeah, his charge to T10.
Yeah,
it isn't. I know he says this a lot, and we laugh at it, particularly in one group chat where he's like, "Oh, I'm playing so much better than the scores are suggesting." I'll flip that around a little bit and say, I don't think it can't be as bad as +9 at the Masters looks.
I agree,
no.
But I certainly don't think it's very close to very good until this week, of course, but. Like, it's not.
Yeah. Dan needs medication.
It's not good. It's not good enough. It's not sharp enough. It's definitely not top 10 player in the world.
No, close it's not. And then that's
and
what
if
he wants
somehow
to be.
Backdoors his way into a triumph this week.
Stop.
Yeah, and it would be just like 2022.
He would be a top
RBC.
10 player in the world, according to
RBC. I disagree, actually. I don't. If he won this week, it would be nothing like 2022.
He actually gained.
Yeah.
I think he led the field tee to green at Valero, and then he was decent at the Masters other than the 12th hole. And so there was like signs of, okay, he's actually hitting the ball pretty well. He just can't make a putt, and then the Masters was bad. This time, the only sign I'm banking on is the +1.10 strokes gained in the second round of the Masters. Like,
that's what you're banking on. Hang your hat on that.
Well, and the fact that obviously,
and the short game
scares the
back
field.
And...
He scares the field.
Yeah. He hasn't done anything. He scares the field.
Elise and I constantly joke about having a disease, and I think Dan might even have stage further.
The only thing Spieth scares these days is the fans on the sides of the greens with his approach shots.
Yeah. He did that many times this week.
He certainly did. The patrons were...
Scares rooftops.
Duck cover and all. Yeah. It was duck cover.
Speaking of patrons.
Important to note. A few Scott shots into the patrons this week were very fortunate to be in nice positions when they finished.
Yes, they certainly were. Speaking of patrons, I think Tiger like KO'd a patron. That clip is so funny where he's in the trees on the left on 9 and just hits a rocket out to the right side of 9. And
deep
you just see
someone,
somebody
yeah.
go down in a heap. And that's like... It's the great. I don't even think there's a four. It's just a. You know, classic.
Tiger doesn't yell four. Yeah, doesn't get
no. He's
up
too
enough.
Tired. It hurts the. He might have to get surgery after if he does that. So
dude, it takes time to get to +16.
Hey, Bryson says four now.
Bryson does say four. It was a pretty good Masters, other than the +9. I thought, until the back nine, and then it was the Scott show.
Scott is just so, I mean, I can't believe we have, Scott is just so much more mentally, like, tougher than everybody else.
Yeah, he's inevitable.
In addition to, like, his, you know, just his ball striking being better than everyone else's, and now that he's figured out the putter with the mallet, it's like, it really always does feel like Thanos is coming.
Yeah, it was such a chilling plottage after the bogey on 7. It was a great birdie on 8. And then the shot on 9, I thought was in. I thought that was going to be the sickest moment I've seen in a long time. And then the birdie, just to follow the birdie on 10. I mean, kudos to Homa for playing birdieing 10. Aubert was right there with a great birdie on 9. And then just the water on 11, you know, took out Aubert, and then
Aubert showed some of his inexperience on the back nine. Like, this is where you need a couple more masters. And also, by the way, Aubert putted his like ass off
this week
at the Masters. He was like literally, I think, maybe the top in terms of strokes game putting for the week.
Feels a little Zalatoris-y. Yeah.
I will say, Oberg, incredible showing.
He's sick. I love him.
And he will be the new Spieth at the Masters.
No, he won't.
I feel like he is going to play well there for the rest of his career. He just hits the ball so well. And his short game is, his putting's. The way he will contend in future years is nothing like the way he contended this year. He made so many ridiculous putts that are three putted by every other first timer.
Or Spieth.
I mean, that one on not well. Possibly D greened, chipped back to his feet, and then two putted after that. but it was fun watching.
He was still great though. Aubert was 2.6 strokes gained ball striking around.
That'll play.
I mean, he gained
over 2 on the greens every day. That's crazy.
That's crazy. Wow. They watered the greens between Saturday and Sunday. Phil said they watered the greens.
Yeah, to get a little bit better scoring, which I thought
still put over par.
Kind of tough, but I think it's fair enough. Like, you want some of those funnel pins to be a little bit more like. You want to see shots like the one Scheffler hit on 9 and the couple of darts into 10 from Homa and Scheffler. And it just kind of sucked that after once Scott Scheffler hit the middle of the green on 12, it was over. Like,
yeah,
he was 4 clear at least.
Yeah.
And it was.
You look at like, and I'll say this, I don't think we have too much left. But I'll say this about Augusta National. It is unfortunate that we don't get more close masters, but that also just speaks to the brilliance of the golf course. I know it's always ranked 2, 3, 4. It is by far the best tournament golf course that the world will ever see. It is every single inch of that course when it plays the right way, besides like a 2020, is such a test. You never see a course separate players like it does year in and year out. And every year it's the deserving winner. And it was incredible to watch this week. It was the most fun Masters I've ever seen. It sucks that we didn't deserve a 4-shot victory, but we were spoiled the first 3 rounds completely. It was an unbelievable viewing experience. I know, Jordan, you sort of had enough of Augusta National after watching Spieth make the scores he did, but I know Lisa were watching all week, and Dan, I assume you probably were too.
It was a great 66 holes.
Yeah, it's just like 17. Like, there's no course in the world like where Bryson was penalized for hitting a 360 yard drive on 17. He had to lay up because he was too close from 80 yards. It's a layup from 80 yards. Like, it's just that's incredible. Sick.
I watched Bryson.
He was doing it, and Bryson was doing it with like 3D clubs. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
Like 3D printed clubs that he had gotten approved by the USGA on Monday of the Masters. So that's like crazy.
That's awesome. Bryson was full of content. I wanted to just mention that it was fun to see Bryson in contention this week. I missed that. Like, he was, he took the sign. He was waving away the patrons. He had 3D golf clubs and hold out on 18 for birdie.
Man,
and
he hit the ball. If he can dial in his, like, I don't know whether it was adrenaline or he just wasn't able to figure out the pop, but, like, he was flying every single miss over the flag just 15 yards long. Like, he was hitting it at the pin every single time. It was extremely impressive ball striking.
I think the short game in some spots let him down a little bit.
For sure. But there is something to be said about, like, he has a huge advantage putting inside of 8 feet. Because if he can learn how to read the greens, his stroke is so automatic. Now, from 30, 40 feet, he'll struggle with that his entire career. Just through arm lock and not being a very feel player, he'll struggle lag putting throughout his career here. But he does gain such an advantage off the tee when you're hitting shorter irons into these greens. It is such an advantage. And I truly do believe that Bryson will miss a lot of cuts here. Bryson will shoot 79 here multiple times. But I truly believe he'll win a green jacket eventually if he can just figure out something about how to read the greens. Because his stroke is perfect for those 8 foot putts where you have to start him outside the hole and you have to be confident with your line. Like, when he figures that out, he's going to win a jacket and hopefully not before Spieth wins another. But watching him this week, I was watching him on feature groups literally up until like the 16th hole. Like, I got so enjoyment out of watching him play that golf course. The content was unbelievable this week.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah, he had a pitching wedge into 8.
That's 100%. That's insane. That's insane. I mean,
and he flew it 15 yards over the green and made par.
I've watched Bryson miss so many putts on Sunday. Was it Sunday?
He also just couldn't buy one on Sunday. Like,
yeah, he just could not buy one.
But it wouldn't have mattered. It was
I wanted someone to make a run. Nobody, that's like, true. Nobody that, except for, yeah, maybe no Aubert, like, made a run at Scotty. There was no.
Yeah, that's what stinks. Usually you have someone in that Xander, Bryson, Smith area that makes a run, and no one did this year. But, I mean, to be fair, there are a lot of low sack players in that group as well. So
Fleetwood, Xander. I mean
yeah, Fleetwood, Xander, and Cam Young don't exactly shiver Scotty's timbers by any means.
I was gonna say Cam Smith shot 64 to win a major. So I would have been cool if he got rolling a little bit.
Cam Smith is one, especially since he holed out on 2.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Morikawa in contention this week? It kind of drummed up some demons because, one, I thought it was impressive that he played well in the wind because I figured that just doesn't happen. But then
it usually doesn't.
It felt like 9 was tough to watch. The double bogey from that bunker, that really should just be a bogey and you go down 2 to Scheffler entering the back, but you still have a fighter's chance. But Scheffler was 1 under through 8. Or even. I think he was even.
He had let a lot of people. He had kind of opened the door crack.
Yeah. And like Morikawa was, I think Morikawa was 1 under through 8.
Yeah, I think so.
So that was, you know, really, really in it at a major for the first time in what's felt like a long time. And that's good for the game, I think, to have him be. Because it's always better for the TV product to say, hey, we've got a 2-time major champion in the final group along with Scotty Scheffler. So that was cool. Cool to see Homa back-to-back top 10s in the majors. I think, I don't know if how well he fits at some of these other courses but this year, but I think he's live Because he's won at Riviera, and Riv's a great comp course. Like, I think he could be a dude to win a jacket at some point. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of other...
It was a good start for him.
Yeah, certainly. Trying to think of other... And that shot on 12 is tough. Because if it lands a foot shorter, it probably bounces into the straw and rolls back down into the little fairway. And who knows if he makes 3 or 4. But it certainly isn't a 5. And yeah. That's kind of disappointing.
My thinking at 12 is always make sure you take the longer club instead of the shorter one and look where that got him. So
yeah,
it's exactly. Just the best par 3 in the world. That's all it is.
Elise, how sad was it that Xander was Xander?
I mean, I picked him to win, but it was predictable Xander. Like I also
solo eight
like. It was someone was like, Xander, we know this is going to end. Xander's finishing like in the top 10, not competitive. I mean,
that's exactly what he did.
Exactly
so predictable.
He is
completely non-competitive.
He has his floor and his ceiling are kind of like very close together, right? Because he doesn't,
that's a good way of putting it.
He doesn't spike a lot to win, but he doesn't perform badly either. So he's like a solid lock in, for example, a DraftKings, like a DFS lineup, or if you want to play him for a placement, like he's very solid in that regard.
Yeah, there's so much green on his data golf page, but zero yellow. it's pretty funny. And I said before that I think we might be one major early on Xander. I will be possible. I could, maybe I'm just being, you know.
Ryan would agree with you on
Valhalla. I think Valhalla might be his moment. It just felt a little soon after the players to really be there.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We'll see.
I will say, cool to
see Xander would win the weakest of the four majors.
He would. He will. Right. He would be a PGA champion.
He would finish. Yeah.
I still believe he'll win a Masters though. I said that in the pod. He will. I think.
Actually, yeah.
He's got to get over the hump though.
Masters and PGA. Yeah. Two majors. I could see that eventually.
Yeah. At least I want to say, Sunday would have been painful if we didn't, or you didn't snipe 8.5 to 1. It would have been a lot harder to watch that back nine.
It was still hard for me to watch this back nine. I'm sorry, but like Scotty just doesn't.
I couldn't root for him, even though I had the 8 to 1. I couldn't root for him.
Someone on Twitter was like, "He's excited. He's more excited than you think. He almost falls over with every swing." I'm like, that doesn't make him exciting. That doesn't make him exciting. That just makes him, that's his swing. That doesn't.
It sucks exciting. Because like he is so good. He is so grounded that he doesn't have the career fall off in the bag that Spieth and Rory had. Like he's too grounded to be exciting.
I would love to talk about Rory.
He's too grounded to be exciting, but that also means he's too grounded to like, if he in the same exact situation did what Spieth did in 2016, I don't see it affecting him nearly as much at all.
Yeah, he's
because so he'd throw him to Meredith.
He's proving
his newborn and be like, whatever. God. And then he'd come back and win the next week by 6 shots. Like it's absurd.
It is absurd. God,
he's really mentally tough. Although I will say, like Rory back, you know, when Rory was winning a bunch of majors, like I didn't think he was mentally like fragile until it started to, like, well,
yeah,
I guess maybe
you didn't
no,
have
I
had Scott to ground him.
Then no, actually that's wrong though, because 2010, the 2010 Masters like just really sticks out in my mind with like Rory like bending over and like crying. When he like shot 80 to lose that Masters, but Rory's just like was so like also like dynamic. He has that Rory walk when he was dominant, like that you knew Rory was like feeling himself, and you knew he was just gonna like beat everybody by a lot, like a congressional, he'd beat everyone like by a million, and we just like. Rory just can't never seem to get to that place anymore. He doesn't have that freedom, that swag anymore.
Speaking he might of be going congressional, live. Nah, that was crazy. If you're listening, it's April 15th while we're recording this. The whole Rory to Liv story gained some traction today. Crazy.
It got shut down by
James.
Jamie Weir.
James Weir. Do you remember what story he broke?
The hat gate.
Yeah.
The Ryder Cup with Cantlay. Yep.
He did.
That was also not true. Keep that in mind. But he's close to Rory. He's kind of a thug.
Also,
but...
like Rory going to live. Speaking of Rory at Congressional, I just looked. He gained nearly 6 shots on the field. Like per round.
Performance.
That's crazy. That's so sick. It'll be like Speed this week at Hilton Head.
Like when I go to Rory, like I watched him in Belrive and like he was driving it miles past Tiger and JT at Belrive. Like miles. So far. Just so good. And just so frustrating because he drives it so well and then he just like can't hit a wedge close enough or like 4 putts for freaking whatever bogey that he did Sunday.
I think his time is coming shortly, though, in a major. It's not going to be...
Not going to be at Augusta, though.
He wins the Masters as his next major.
Think he wins a jacket ever.
Next. If he is going to get a jacket, he has to win another one first.
Well, yes, but I just don't... The mental scarring is, like, too much at the Masters, I think.
No, I'm not saying it's not, but I think he could get a... Like, Valhalla... I mean, obviously, he won there before.
Well, yeah.
But if he – and he was really – he was there at the U.S. Open last year. Like, he's – and he was the Open the year before. You know, if he actually gets one under his belt, I think he will – I think part of the Masters stuff is obviously the pressure is so large. But there's also a slight doubt of, like, I'm not sure I can win a major. Like, I don't think
that just adds to the pressure. Like, the pressure of – A, try to win another major when you haven't won one in 10 years. Pressure of winning the one major that you want the most and the pressure of completing the career Grand Slam. So that would at least take one of the pressure points off.
Right. And so I think that could help him. To your point, I think it would make it slightly easier the next couple seasons at Augusta to be like, I can win a major. Right. To have that kind of doubt be cast from his mind, I think would be massive. But you know, he'll have to wait till Valhalla. And
I'm a huge Rory fan, but I don't think he wins a green jacket. And if I'd be really happy to be very wrong. But the thing is, most Grand Slam winners have already won, like the career Grand Slam.
I think
in their first 3 tries. They win. And so if that time is long gone for Rory, it's been like 16 Masters.
And for Spieth,
yep.
Yeah, I think Mickelson will be the outlier.
Spieth's slam chances are interesting.
They're about as low as they can get.
Because they're pretty low. But but if there's one major that you could win on a whim.
Is it really the PGA?
I think it's the PGA.
Not for
like
him.
for a random golfer. No, maybe not for Spieth.
Well, yeah, I mean the problem is the PGA setups are now like so much more like the U.S. Open. It's a lot harder. But
PGA
like
setups
yeah,
are
like,
chills as of late.
Like 10 years ago, like yeah, like Jason Duffner and Keegan Bradley like could just come in and like win
Jimbo
a major.
Walker.
Yeah, but like the problem is the PGA like is trying to be too much or is trying to be kind of like the U.S. Open these days and. That means that narrows the field of who can win to like the ball.
And Justin Thomas won a PGA.
Two of them recently, apparently.
Well, Justin Thomas won a PGA A at a regular tour stop, first of all, Quail Hollow.
Yeah,
and then B, second, Southern Hills. Like he was like literally gift wrapped the major.
Right. Because Mito Pereira was about to win a major.
Yep.
That's my point. Like Mito Pereira wins a PGA.
That's
and it's like,
Pereira Spieth used to be the face of Under Armour.
He's still with UA, I would think.
Hey, Mito Pereira was, I mean, he was a good he was good before he went to live.
Yeah, and then he got electrocuted on the 72nd. That swing is like, I think that's what I look like when I tee off normally.
It was a helicopter.
Yeah, no, it's not a helicopter, but it is a four right off the face of my driver.
A high R right.
Yeah, the old Hillary block. I've had a few Harmon hooks these days though too, so I don't really know.
It was a disappointment for this year's Masters with Mr. Harmon missing the cut.
Oh yes, B. Harmon.
Yeah, also but you see, years. The thing is about Ryan Harmon.
He went out. He went home in 47 on Thursday.
Yeah, but like he's just gonna bounce back. Like I'm not worried about his golf game. I think it's a must bet at Valhalla personally.
He was on the range today at Hilton Head working. Not surprised.
Of course he was.
The Bulldog.
I did not see Jay Spieth on the range today.
No, I did not see Jay Spieth on the range.
Yeah, he already knows.
He's in the Bahamas by any chance.
Oh my god.
Bahamas in Dallas, Texas.
I mean, what if he's just in Dallas getting surgery on the wrist?
That'd be crazy.
That'd be nice.
How would we feel about that, actually?
I'd be fine.
I think we'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
He'd be
out. I mean, I don't want to watch this stuff for 3 months.
This stinks.
What, at least, given you're the,
doctor.
PhD, you're the doctor. If surgery is a thing, what's the timeline?
I don't remember that.
Got beef.
It's a season after first beef.
Yeah, I think so. But
so
if he plays the President's Cup, which who knows if he's on that team, given the way it's going. That means probably not back till Pebble.
Several months. I mean, it depends on how bad it is, right? What he needs done.
It could be the Woods Challenge.
Maybe, but that seems like a. Would he get an invite?
Yes, he'd get an invite.
Yes, because he's
yes,
yeah, because he's also
part of the Tiger crew. He goes to dinner with Tiger. Like
he's on the board.
Yes.
He's a company
and
man.
Thomas could vouch for him, I'm sure.
Yeah,
they've done
a
lot
of pictures on Instagram with JT, Tiger, Fowler, Spieth, like at restaurants for things.
Hey, don't forget couples.
They also had until Troy Van beats it and retired. They had the same physique. They all had the same physique going too.
Did couples make the cut?
No. Oh, speaking of made cuts, though.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Singh made the
and
cut.
And Mr. Ola Thobel.
Mr. Ola Thobel took Spieth to pound.
Yes, he did. You know,
did
they
you
finished
see in
at
round
the same,
three?
They round finished at three. The same score, and Ola Thobel had two more rounds to play.
I'm pretty sure in round
and they both
three,
played over par.
You know what? A bet I saw was top senior Phil 14-1. That seems like a. Something that we should have taken.
That absolutely
is a chilling bet.
Yeah, that needs to be bet. I'm honestly
decent this week.
I feel like Mickelson is more than in the story the next two majors.
I'd agree.
That would be
oh,
sick.
Come on.
He's just so fun.
I'm not sure he's there.
Did you hear his interview? Did you hear his interview after the fourth round?
No.
What'd he say?
He was like, my game feels close. I mean, that's a vintage Mickelson quote before he wins a major. I mean, he's been saying that his entire career. Spieth stole it from Mickelson.
I'll give him Valhalla seems a little dicey.
Good course history of Valhalla.
Maybe.
Yeah, but
Pinehurst seems
he was second, wasn't he?
Pinehurst is very Phil possible.
Yeah, I'd put the odds of a hefty fist pump at the next two majors at probably -180. I think we get
that's fair. That's
I
fair.
Mean, we did get a fist pump at +8 this week from Phil on the 12th hole for a 13-foot par save with no cheers.
I kind of like this is looking way too far ahead, but Cam Smith plays well in majors. And Pinehurst seems like a Cam Smith kind of venue.
It would be too long for him.
Too penalizing off the tee, maybe.
It's just going to be long.
Yeah, but he flushes his irons, man. And
the
he
long
makes putts.
Irons.
Yeah, but if he's just around the greens with that putter, I don't know.
don't know. You're right, though. Yeah. He did play well this week. Of course, his strokes gained stuff looks freaking fluky.
Is it all putter and short game?
0.03 yeah. off the tee, 0.17 approach, around the green, 159, putting 122.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I feel like, yeah, I mean.
That's chilling.
Yeah, it is chilling. Honestly, this major has made me miss live players on like in weekly more than even last year's Masters did. Like I miss Mickelson showing up to Pebble every year, feeling like he's got such a chance.
I mean, it was funny to DJ didn't make a birdie this week. I don't think.
I mean, you have all the characters on live. That's the thing too. Like PGA has like so many just like vanilla boring, Chad, good, like, boring players. Might as well be the same player almost. Like people on tour, like we don't have like
did Brooks. Did you see Hatton's comments this week?
Hatton was fantastic.
They were incredible.
Hatton is another character. Like Hatton is a character. Reed's a character. Bryce is a character. Brooks is like cool, like alpha male dude. Yeah. Phil is Phil. I mean, like you have all like some of the better like personalities. Some emotions. On Liv.
You'll get. I'll also say this. I really before we go, I really do appreciate the Presley Sunday conversation with Brooks Koepka this week. That was incredibly well done.
Content.
Yes.
Phenomenal content. And you know, a lot of people don't think Brooks has that side of him, but like he does. Like he has that.
He's
personality.
A funny dude.
Yeah, he is a funny dude.
The you brought up Hatton. He'd like miss a putt and they just go straight to his face. And every time he's got something to say to his caddy or the sky.
Or the green.
Or like, the green.
Why the hell did you break that way?
Like he cannot believe that it snapped that much or it didn't break. And like he was saying all these things with his accent too about like goodness gracious, looking at, you know, the hot mics picking up, you know, the F-bombs all over the place. And it was fantastic because he played with Tiger on Saturday. And I think Hat played really well Saturday, but he dropped some, he was dropping some profanity. And then you could hear Tiger start to drop it too, because I think he was just picking up Hatton's vibe. And I thought that was fantastic. But what a great Masters.
What a great Masters and
deserving champion. Good content.
It's sad that we have another, because honestly, I'll be honest. I can't get too into the PGA. Like going into the week, there's not the hype that comes with the US Open and Open, even though it's always a fun championship. But there's nothing like the week of the Masters. Like the entire week is just Masters, 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 and that'll be missed.
You get to see Sammy and Sophie and, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I
the
believe
the Alpha Hags at the dinner.
Yes, I believe Sammy put two balls in the water this week. So like father, like son. As Spieth, I actually believe Spieth put the same amount of balls in the water at the par 3 contest as Sammy did. Because Sammy put one in the water on 8 and 9. So, yeah,
Ricky won the par 3 contest, and we all know what that meant.
Congrats to Fowler on leaving with some hardware,
and a new baby.
Yeah,
it's on the way for them as well.
Oh, forgot about that. Yeah,
congrats.
Meredith needs to hurry along.
Yeah, no, that's kind of crazy.
I will say that whole story was like way overblown in my opinion.
Oh yeah, way.
Like Sam Burns' wife was.
She's like what, like 8 months, right?
She was Meredith. Like still like 3 week, or like 3 weeks away or 4 weeks away. Like that's not like normally imminent. Is like
so you're
labor.
Saying
like
you're saying
imminent.
You're saying Scott's out of Valhalla.
Possible.
It's slam time. Da, 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 da.
They might like then choose to induce like or like during like Zurich week because
I don't think Scheffler would do that. He's too much of a family man.
Could you imagine everyone's induced these days? Like I was induced twice for both my kids. So
Could you imagine the Scheffler slam is just not a thing because he has a kid?
Can you imagine he wins the other three and doesn't even go to Valhalla? That would be the biggest what if for years.
Oh, wow. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
But I think that's all
I have another what if.
That's all I got. We'll be back for the RBC preview.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that week, as you can tell.
I am. I'm excited. I think he's got a chance.
God.
I have a master singer where it's been hard to get up for
I'm
that.
Talking about Cantlay, of course, not Spieth.
But I already have my card done, so
we'll see you guys then.
Peace.